All right, guys, welcome back to another Crossover Wednesday. I'm Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons. I'm joined by the host of Locked On Panthers, Bill Rossetti. We're going to be previewing the Falcons versus Panthers in Week 16.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, today's episode is another Crossover Wednesday podcast where the Locked On Falcons podcast and the Locked On Panthers join forces to talk about this Falcons-Panthers matchup on Sunday coming up in Week 16 or, yeah, right? Sunday, right? Or is it Saturday this weekend?
Yeah. No, it's Sunday.
Yep. Okay. The last week threw me off. It really did throw me off because they usually do the Saturday games like the weekend before Christmas. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so today's episode, sorry for getting us off to such a weird start. Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. We'll be sharing you guys with some a fun, new, exciting wrinkle for that later on in the episode. But Bill, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we did this at the start of the season.
It has been, yeah. It's hard to believe, you know, the first meeting was way back in week two, and now here it is week 16 already. Like, where did the season go?
Yeah, it's weird because both teams have had sort of these ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, throughout the season, you know, the Falcons just ended their five-game losing streak with a thrilling, and I use air quotes for thrilling, victory over the Arizona Cardinals. The Panthers are now just dropped their sixth game in a row with a Monday night loss to the New Orleans Saints. I'm curious, Bill, from your perspective, certainly one of the things I talked about quite a bit on Locked On Falcons over the last 5 weeks was why the Falcons kept losing. But just for my listeners that don't listen to Locked On Panthers every day, sort of if you could summarize, what do you think are some of the big reasons why the Panthers have been struggling over the last six games?
Yeah, a lot of it seemed to do with the defense, they, especially kind of in the secondary, they just seem to have some issues. I don't know if they just seem to be aging. I don't know if Mike Adams was kind of getting over the hill. They just had a tough time stopping these opposing offenses. And then their offense on the flip side just has really kind of struggled, especially the offensive line. You know, the first half of the season, the Panthers' offensive line was playing so good, and now all of a sudden they're just a huge liability. And we saw it Monday night against the Saints. Cam Newton was just feeling pressure all over the place. You know, he just never really seemed to have time to throw. And then Cam himself has been a problem too. I think he's finally confirmed with a lot of us, and I touched on this on Tuesday's Panthers pod, that I think he kind of confirmed what we all kind of have suspected for a few weeks, and it's that shoulder is bothering him a lot more than either he or the Panthers as a team had kind of led us to believe, because there were some throws that a fully healthy Cam probably could have made that he did not make. One in particular was that interception in the end zone right before halftime. And, you know, Devin Funch just didn't even seem like he had a shot at it. He just kind of short-armed it right to Eli Apple. So it's been kind of a mix of things, but lately it's just been the offense just hasn't been generating enough points. The offensive line just isn't giving Cam Newton enough time. Luckily, Christian McCaffrey, no matter what the issues on the rest of the offense, he's been as dominant as ever. I mean, hell, he had the only passing touchdown in that entire game. Drew Brees didn't have any. Cam Newton didn't have any. Christian McCaffrey had the only one. But, yeah, you know, Cam said it best. They just find more and more ways to come up short, and that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, I'm curious sort of looking ahead to this Falcons game. In one of the things I noticed, I saw on Twitter today where basically Cam Newton, you know, barely threw the ball down the field in this Saints game. And do you wonder if that's going to be, again, an issue going up against a vulnerable Falcons defense? And if they become sort of one-dimensional and sort of have to rely on sort of Christian McCaffrey to carry the offense without having that sort of vertical element in their passing game, which has been sort of the bread and butter of Cam Newton throughout his career, pushing the ball down the field and getting those big splash plays. Do you think this sort of could be another instance where you see, even going up against a pretty weak Falcons defense, where it's sort of maybe potentially, I wouldn't say playing to the strengths of the Falcons defense because they have no strengths, but at least maybe not in a position where they can really exploit them in the way that they potentially could.
Right. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people even talking on Twitter, you know, there's rumblings, should the Panthers just shut down Cam Newton for the rest of the season because of the fact that they're more or less out of the playoffs. They still can make the playoffs, but the odds of that happening now are very, very slim. So, I mean, if you're still rolling Cam out there and he looks as limited as he did Monday night, you're going to have to continue to rely on Christian McCaffrey. But even that's going to be difficult because, you know, the Falcons still have pretty good guys up front on the defensive line that can take advantage of what has become a weak link. You know, back when these teams first met in week two, the offensive line looked a lot better than it does now. And I mean, you have Marshall Newhouse. He got the start at left tackle on Monday, and he hasn't really been the greatest of tackles. So, you know, it's really putting Carolina in a, you know, like you said, they really became kind of one-dimensional. And even with a team, even against a team banged up like the Falcons, that's not really the best position you want to be in. You know, I think the Falcons can just kind of stack the box, knowing that Cam is shaken up, or even if you put Taylor Heinicke, I mean, who knows what they're going to do if Cam's going to play or if Heinicke's going to play. But yeah, the concern level is obviously really high as to, you know, how effectively they can move this ball, even against a defense like the Falcons.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to sort of see the difference between this game and earlier in the season where McCaffrey sort of really sort of went off against the Falcons, and because they have Deion Jones back, and in the passing game where McCaffrey had over 100 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Deion Jones back and what was notable last season, and one of the things I've talked about over the last, you know, year or so now with Deion Jones was that he did a really good job of shutting down Christian McCaffrey in that Week 17 game last season. And so if the Panthers' offense is funneled through McCaffrey, and then you have Deion Jones, not necessarily, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting him to shut down Christian McCaffrey, but certainly to do a lot less damage than he did the last time they faced the Falcons. Then if you don't have Cam doing his thing, you obviously don't have Greg Olsen in the lineup. You don't have C.J. Anderson. You know, you still have Funches. You still have D.J. Moore. But if unless somebody else can sort of step up and sort of be that guy that can also create on the ground or through the air, then I think this Panthers team is going to have some difficulty putting up points even against a defense as bad as the Falcons. So I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, that Christian McCaffrey versus Deion Jones matchup, which I think if Deion Jones at least is able to keep McCaffrey contained, I think that's going to be a problem for the Panthers.
No, and you're right. And as far as, like, you know, some of the other players stepping up, I mean, he was pretty quiet on Monday night, but Ian Thomas is a guy that I think you got to watch for, because we saw in the Browns game how quickly Cam has already put trust in this guy in place of Greg Olsen, you know, and this was a kid, of course, and, you know, we've kind of touched on him in the past, but this is a kid that the Panthers were really high on. Of course, took him with the first pick of the fourth round. He's a kid that I think is really going to continue to develop, and really excited to see what he can do as he grows in this offense. So, you know, he's another guy that you're going to have to really keep an eye on. Devin Funchess, I think, only played like 11 snaps Monday, so very quiet day out of him. Just the entire passing game, so that's something that's got to step up. You know, hopefully the defense can play as well as they did. We'll get to the defense a little bit, but the offense, like I said, other than McCaffrey, somebody's got to continue to step up. You mentioned DJ Moore has done a fantastic job of that, but it's really, you know, I sound like a broken record. I keep coming full circle, but it comes down to that offensive line. Like, they've got to get better, you know, how do I want to put this? I mean, you know, you've only got two games left, and they've been struggling the last few weeks. So, you know, how quickly of a change can they really make? But somehow they've got to improve as much as they can to even let Cam throw middle of the field or in your short game, even if he can't go deep. You know, at least let him expand the playbook somewhat instead of just making him scramble and just relying on Christian. It's, I don't know. This team just gives you so much cause for concern. You know, it makes your head spin what has happened with this offense and why they're struggling the way they are, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll come back and talk a little bit about the Falcons offense versus the Panthers defense. But I do want to let you guys know that you can find two fantasy football-related shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. The first one is Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Where you can get various injury news and roster updates from around the league, as well as the Locked On Fantasy Experts with Vinny Iyer. I know most of your fantasy football seasons are pretty much over at this point, but maybe you guys want to get ahead of the curve a little bit for next season, as well as maybe get some insights potentially into maybe some one-week fantasy that's still going strong at places like DraftKings. All right, it's week 16 of the football season, and that means time is running out for you to get in on the action. Right now, every game matters, whether it's for teams fighting for the playoffs or trying to tank for that number one pick. And you guys can take advantage with huge cash prizes. Single game fantasy football is the newest way to play one day fantasy at DraftKings, the leader in one day fantasy football. If you've been on the fence about trying DraftKings, now is the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from 1 week to just one game, making things even easier for you to put together a great starting lineup this weekend. All you have to do is draft six players from a single football game, one captain, and five other players. Your captain will earn 1.5 times the points. It's that simple. Six players from one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. All you have to do is go to DraftKings.com or download the app right now. Use the code LOCKEDON to enter a single game contest for free this week with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. And as a gift for your guys' loyalty for listening to one of the many Locked On Podcast Network, there is a Locked On Listener League just for you guys when you sign up at DraftKings. I'll put the link in the show notes on whatever podcast platform you're using currently. You can also check out FalcFans.com where the podcast is posted daily. I'll also tweet it out on FalcFans and the Locked On Falcons Twitter pages. And I'll also put that link over at the Locked On Falcons Facebook page as well. So you have multiple places to find this link, so you definitely will be able to join. Try to win some cash. Try to win some bragging rights. You know, I won a nice little wad of cash last week, which leaves me a lot less bitter about sort of how my season-long fantasy football season ended. And it's basically for free, you guys. Just hit up that link. Join my contest that I'll be starting this week. I'll probably try to do two, one on Saturday with the sort of the one-game Captain's League, as well as doing a Sunday sort of normal format. It'll be first come, first serve. All you got to do is go deposit. It's a $5 minimum, and you can get that free $3 free play, and you can win some cash. So go check that out, guys. So let's talk about the Falcons offense versus the Panthers defense. And I think this is going to be, you know, the Falcon. One of the reasons why for your Locked On Panthers listeners, one of the reasons why the Falcons went through that five-game losing streak was largely due to the fact that their offense just really started to struggle. And it wasn't just one thing. It was, you know, you had some questionable performances from Matt Ryan. You had a running game that was improved from earlier in the season, but certainly not enough to carry the offense. You had, you know, turnovers and drops and fumbles from the wide receivers. And you had some subpar offensive line performances. And it seemed like each week that one of those units would struggle. And the Falcons couldn't necessarily get anything right going for their offense. And with their, you know, what is a defense that's been one of the worst in the league this season, if you can't basically put up enough points, you know, to sort of counter, then you're going to lose games and lose them handily, as the Falcons did in a number of those losses. And so, you know, the Falcons are coming off a 40-point effort against the Arizona Cardinals, one of the worst teams in the league, but it was sort of their get-right game. And I'll be curious to see if that was just a one-time blip against a Cardinals team that, you know, had their own share of offensive struggles. And basically, once the Falcons were able to create some turnovers and get a lead, sort of the Falcons were able to run away with that game. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against this Panthers defense, particularly because the Panthers defense is so good at stopping the run. They didn't do a great job against the Falcons in that week one or that week two game, and that was a pretty outstanding performance from Tevin Coleman. But, you know, the key to the Falcons' success in that game, I thought, was sort of being able to control the line of scrimmage, which has been few and far between for this offensive line throughout the season, and as well as they were able to really get the ball in the hands of Calvin Ridley, who I think did a number on guys like Dante Jackson in that game and really sort of had a breakout performance. And one of the issues the Falcons have been dealing with, not only in addition to their offensive line problems, is Ridley has sort of seemingly hit a rookie wall as of late and just hasn't been the same player that he was at the beginning of the year. And so I don't know if the Falcons can rely on those two factors to sort of carry them today. And right now there just isn't enough else going on with this offense that I feel overly confident against a pretty stout Panthers defense that seems to be going back to, at least in the front seven, back to sort of their reputation as one of the stouter teams up front, if they can do anything against that unit. So I'm curious, Bill, if you sort of agree with that, and or there's some vulnerabilities that you're looking at on this Panthers defense that the Falcons might be able to exploit.
No, I mean, you're right. You know, this defense put up a hell of an effort on Monday night against the Saints. I mean, you hold them to 12 points, you know, and only let them find the end zone once, which is pretty impressive. I know the Saints have kind of struggled a bit on offense the last couple of weeks, but still, if holding Drew Brees to just 12 points is impressive and at any point, really. So you're right. The front seven has really gotten back to its roots, as it were. You know, Luke Kuechly just continues to be Luke Kuechly. Thomas Davis, for being seemingly 45 years old, still out there dominating. So, and then the front four, the way they continue to rotate and get bodies in there, get after the quarterback, because they got after Drew Brees a little bit too on Monday night, and I fully expect them to do the same to Matt Ryan. So I think where the Panthers probably have the edge is definitely on offense. And, you know, I don't know how confident you feel in the Falcons offensive line against this Panthers front four, but even the secondary took a major step forward on Monday night. You know, I was really impressed with really all of them, but Dante Jackson just continues to amaze people. You know, he had the pick two against the Saints. He's just been all over the field. You know, he had the rough game against the Steelers against Antonio Brown, but that was kind of to be expected. But overall, I think, especially being a rookie, he's had a fantastic season. I really think he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl. And then James Bradbury has been pretty consistent all season long as well. So, you know, it's back to being a formidable unit. You know, Ron Rivera having his hands back on the defense probably might have played a role in that. You know, we'll see come next season if, you know, if Rivera's still there, who's going to take charge of the defense. But, you know, it's really nice to see the defense get back to Panthers defense, you know, what we've expected from the Panthers defense. But like I said, I'm curious what you think of the two lines. You know, has the Falcons offensive line been playing well? Are they stout enough to hold against this front four, or is Matt Ryan going to be in a little bit of trouble?
Well, it's hard to say because I thought they did a pretty good job against the Cardinals this past week, and say what you will about the Cardinals being a bad football team, which they are, but the one area of their defense and their roster that you can legitimately say is actually pretty good is their pass rushing has been this year with guys like
Chandler. Just wait till next year when they get Nick Bosa.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with guys like Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden, et cetera. So they held up a lot better against that front than I thought they would. So typically what happens is, oh, like they raise the bar of expectations and then don't meet it the following week. So I don't want to get too overconfident to think that they, you know, since they were able to hold their own against the Cardinals front, who I think is a better front overall, at least in terms of rushing the quarterback than the Panthers front, that they'll be able to do that again this week. So I think it'll be interesting to sort of see whether or not that happens. But I'm not too confident with it, with basically you have three backups in right now with, you know, two guards on injured reserve and then a right tackle in Ryan Schrader, whose poor performance this season, although I think it's probably attributed somewhat to an injury that the team has been covering up, but basically got him benched a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, there will be some opportunities for Carolina's defensive line, particularly Kawan Short, I think, and maybe Mario Addison, who historically does a good job against Jake Matthews. But earlier this season did not. And, you know, that's going to be a critical matchup because if Jake Matthews can't block Mario Addison, I certainly don't think Ty Sambrello or Ben Garland or Zane Beatles are going to be able to block guys like Julius Peppers and whatnot. So you're going to have, you know, some potential favorable matchups, I think, for the Panthers defensive front.
I mean, I guess a testament to, you know, the kind of the Falcons 2018 season as a whole, you know, all the injuries, you know, I hadn't realized like all those guys had been inserted in the starting lineup. I mean, Ty Sambrello has been kind of a, you know, up and down guy over his career. Zane Beatles, he was good when he was in Jacksonville. I guess he's kind of gone downhill a little bit. So, you know, I guess they kind of have that in common with Carolina, almost like their own makeshift offensive line that they're just trying to patch together. Because you're right, that's right. Fusco and Levitre are both on injured reserve. I mean, boy, just looking at their injured reserve or the players on their injured reserve, I mean, it's amazing all the talent that they have on there. You know, just it's just been unfortunate for the Falcons, really.
Yeah, definitely it has been. And that's been something we've talked about a lot on Locked On Falcons this year, is like how much of their struggles have been to blame for the due to the injuries and whatnot. And it seemed like a lot of their early season struggles were, you know, directly related to the injuries due to the defense just basically being horrific and giving up like 37 points a game and whatnot. But I think as of late, the injuries have been less of a crutch for them, and it's just they just have not played well. And so it'll be interesting, I think, to see how the Falcons respond after their get-right game against an inferior opponent with the Arizona Cardinals, and whether this week will prove to be the Panthers' get-right game against an arguably inferior opponent, at least based off of how the Falcons have played throughout this season, this week. So it'll be interesting to see which two versions of these two teams show up. If the Panthers sort of get up for this game, playing at home and whatnot, if the Falcons have typically not played well on the road throughout this season. So I'm not as optimistic as I would be if they were playing this game at home, coming off of a win. So, it's really a bit of a toss-up for me as about who sort of I'm expecting to see in this game. I think there are possibilities for both teams to sort of take control of this game. I think the Falcons kind of need to get off to a fast start, because I think if they don't, then Carolina will be able to rely on the running game with Cam Newton and McCaffrey, and then that sort of plays to what we talked about earlier, which is what they're probably going to try to do with the injury to Cam and with some of the other question marks they have elsewhere. Just, you know, play a conservative, keep this a low scoring, you know, if they can win this game 13-10, I think that's exactly how Carolina wants to do it. But the Falcons mm-hmm. want to get this game, you know, into a shootout, because they just don't have the defense to really keep, you know, to win low scoring games and whatnot. So they just need to basically just go all in and blitz the Panthers with, you know, as many points as possible. And if they can get up early in this game, then that sort of, you know, plays to their strengths as opposed to Carolina's. Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, are you, you got any other thoughts on this game? Are you prepared to do a little bit of a prediction?
I mean, it is a little unfortunate that this game doesn't have more meaning than we thought it could have at the start of the season. You know, obviously the Falcons are my biggest disappointment, or at least as far, you know, just the team I'm most upset about, because this is the team I thought was going to win the Super Bowl. And then obviously the Panthers have gone from 6-2 to 6-8, you know, so for the most part, they're just playing for pride. I know this is weird, but in a way too, this is for second place in the division. Teams are obviously going to change. You know, you never know what teams are going to be good year in and year out, but in a way you could look at this and be like, well, the loser of this game is going to have a bit of an easier schedule next year, because the loser of this game might finish third in the division. And that means you're playing teams like, probably Washington, Detroit, and San Francisco, rather than teams like Philly, Green Bay, and Seattle. So I know that's probably a little tidbit that might only interest me, but again, it just sucks that there's not a whole lot riding on this game compared to, you know, the way these teams started the season. I mean, I know the Falcons lost the opener, but they still hung in there tough with the Eagles. But, you know, it's still a divisional battle. It should still be fun. It's the final home game for the Panthers, so, you know, they'll be ready to go. So it still should be an interesting battle, because it's always good games when the Panthers play the Falcons.
I agree. And I would add, I wouldn't necessarily rule the Falcons out from finishing the fourth place in the NFC South quite yet.
True, depending they on still got to play Tampa.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things on Locked On Falcons we've talked about quite a bit is sort of the idea of tanking and trying to get as high a pick as possible, just because the hope is that, the injuries were more to blame for the Falcons down season. And mm-hmm. so if they can reload with a high pick, and as you mentioned, a weaker schedule against some of these other NFC teams, then they could be poised to make a big improvement in 2019. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. If I was sort of predicting this game, I'm going to predict a Panthers win. I think the Panthers will find a way to take care of business. I think the Falcons – I don't trust the Falcons' offense anymore, even though they just dropped a 40-burger. I think right now, sitting here today, I think that's more of a one-time blip. So I'm thinking this is going to be like a 21-20. It's going to be close, but it's going to favor the Panthers with a little bit of a low-scoring performance. What about you?
Let me just make a correct. I just realized something. I said Green Bay would be a second place schedule. Detroit would be a third place schedule. I completely forgot about Minnesota. Sorry, Kirk Cousins. Minnesota would be the second place schedule. Green Bay would be the third place schedule. And if Atlanta or Carolina happens to fall to last, they would see Detroit on their schedule. But in any event, this way I get that out of the way, so then I don't get people saying, eh, you. Yeah, I don't get Vikings fans with the skull be like, yeah, you forgot about us. So I always have tried to use reverse psychology when I make some of these picks, and it really hasn't worked. But it's hard for me now at this point to really feel confident in the Panthers, even though they are at home. That being said, though, the defense did just put up a great performance against Drew Brees. I was initially going to go with Atlanta, but being at home, and like you said, yeah, the Falcons put up 40 points, but let's face it, I think the Cardinals are pretty much thrown in the towel at this point. They're pretty much on their way to the number one pick in the draft, and they might as well say they should be sending a thank you card right over to San Francisco for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Panthers end the losing streak here, and depending on other results, possibly keep their very, very slim playoff hopes alive. But I'll say the Panthers take this one at home. I'm going to say it's kind of a low-scoring game as well. I'll say 17-14 Carolina.
Okay. For Locked On Panthers listeners, if they want to find more of my stuff, they can do so on Twitter. I am at FalcFans. FalcFans. And of course you can follow the show at Locked On Falcons on Twitter as well as on Facebook and whatnot. And we'll be talking about Falcons and more, the Falcons playoff hopes have been dead for a while. So
sure.
We've been talking more off season stuff and sort of potential coaching changes. And I know that's maybe something that's creeping up with Carolina these last couple of games on this losing streak as well. So.
Yeah, in fact, I'm reading RotoWorld right now. I popped up their Falcons feed. I see the blurb about that, about Sarkisian and Manuel, so that should be interesting.
Yeah. We'll see. Right now it's just rumors. I think it's more dot connecting than anything at this point.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like, one of the things been speculating for a couple of weeks now is that, depending on how the season finishes, we might see both Manuel and Sarkisian lose their jobs. It feels likely that at least one of those guys is going to lose their job, but right now it's sort of waffles back and forth between who's the more likely of the two to lose their job this year.
Mm-hmm. And the Panthers, of course, kind of in the same boat. It'll be really interesting if Eric Washington comes back for a second season. Or, they could make a change at the top. You wonder, especially if they lose these last two, is that going to be the end for Rivera? So that'll be fun to watch, or interesting to watch, at least.
Yeah.
Come Black Monday, as it were.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, I don't think the Falcons will fire Dan Quinn, but that Black Monday could be an interesting one in the NFC South with Tampa Bay and Carolina and Atlanta in terms of, mm-hmm. Several coaches potentially losing their jobs on that day. So, lot to talk about on the, Locked On NFC South. We might have to start a podcast separately for the entire
division. Yeah, really.
Just to talk about that stuff. But, Bill, let the people know where they can find your stuff out there on the interwebs.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Bill_Ricetti, RICCETTE, Panthers Wire, Bengals Wire, and we'll eventually start doing some more bracketology posts for you college basketball fans over at Rocky Top Talk over at SB Nation. Good year to be writing for that site as well, since Tennessee is off to a very strong start, especially with the win over Gonzaga. So definitely like this time of year because I get to dabble on both sides of the fence there. So very excited about that. So, yeah, a lot of good times coming for sure.
Definitely.
Especially with the Panther season just about over.
Yeah. I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling. Well, man, I appreciate you joining me for another crossover. And
absolutely. Appreciate you having me on again. Always enjoy talking to you, Aaron.
I'm sure we'll talk at some point in the offseason when everything gets settled and whatnot with the free agency in the draft and see sort of how both teams sort of handled their offseason to try to, you know, do whatever they got to do to get back in playoff contention next season.
Absolutely, for sure.
All right, Bill, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, another crossover in the books. Appreciate Bill for joining me on today. You know, we'll wrap things up. You know where to hit me up if you have any thoughts on anything. Falc fans or Locked On Falcons on Twitter. Locked On Falcons is Facebook page. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. And, of course, you can leave a comment at FalcFans.com where the podcast is posted daily. For those of you guys that didn't listen to yesterday's show, we are doing a giveaway. In the spirit of giving this time of year, there are some game-worn gloves of Robert Alford from the Ravens game that we are giving away. Basically, I put up a tweet on Falc Fans' Twitter page. It's pinned to the top of the page, so just head up that page. And all you have to do is enter the contest to earn those gloves. Is just retweet that, and at the end of this week, I'll randomly pick a winner. I was asked to do something on Facebook, and, you know, that's fair. It's very Twitter-centric on this show, and, you know, can't leave out the people that are loyal followers on Facebook, and so I'll put something up as well on Facebook there to help those people out. You know, the cynical part of me is just like, you know, just join Twitter for 3 days and just give it a retweet, and then you can quit this weekend. But, you know, I know some people don't want to, you know, why am I making it hard on you when you can just simply put something up on Facebook? So that is a fair point. All right. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.